It is time now for Minnesota Reads on KUMD. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Well, if the weather is just too cold and snow mixed with freezing drizzle for you, you can go to Venice. You can picnic in Venice. Thanks to the artistry of Connie Ellis, her new novel, Picnic in Venice, is out, and she joins us this morning on the phone to talk about it a little bit. Hey, Connie, good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Oh, good morning.
So let's talk a little bit about, why don't you give folks just kind of a rough outline of the novel? Sometimes I'm good at encapsulating it. Sometimes I just want to say so much about it that I go on for days. So when people say, oh, what's your new book about? You must have like a little elevator speech already prepared.
Well, not really. But it was about this time last year when I finished that book. And yes, it was very nice being mentally in a nice warm place like Italy, especially Venice, when I was writing upstairs here with a cup of coffee, and it was cold and snowy outside. Well, the book is kind of dreamlike, I would say, and it has some interesting characters. The main character is someone who finds her way in the world through art. And one of the other characters is a dentist. And dentists usually have kind of a bad reputation, you know, but this is a very, very nice dentist. And he's one of the best characters. There are some other characters that are a little wild, and you really just have to read the book and go through this dream and find out what happens.
It really does kind of grab you and drag you in. I have to follow up on something you just said because I'm curious. Did you deliberately say, I'm going to make this guy a dentist because dentists are not, you know, I mean, nobody really looks forward to going to the dentist. So I'm going to make this sympathetic character. I'm going to make this great guy into a dentist just for fun. Or did it just kind of evolve that way?
It just, he just appeared, like my characters do. And I've always liked my dentists. I never liked going to the dentist, but everyone I've ever had, even when I was really little, I thought, oh, he's such a nice person.
Well, yeah, that is definitely interesting. So did you mention, by the way, to your dentist that you had created a really nice guy dentist in your latest novel?
No, I haven't yet. I think I'll have to send them an email.
I think that would be a lovely part. That would be lovely.
I'll do that.
Your writing style is so, well, all right, I want to ask about the style, but I want to back up a step, and I write this stuff down so that I try to keep things in order, and then I get excited and jump ahead of myself. Have you ever lived in Italy?
No, but I've been to Venice twice.
Okay,
so other cities in Italy, so I'm...
So you have visited a little bit. Now, the conventional wisdom is to write what you know. Now, you wrote about, you know, people spending time in Italy and being there. And the story is very intimate in the sense that it's not big sweeping scenes. It's people in a very specific place, doing very specific, mundane, everyday kinds of things. What are some of the challenges of writing that kind of everyday life when you set the action in a place or a culture that isn't yours? I mean, that isn't something that you have really experienced on that kind of day-to-day level.
Well, other things that I've written have almost always been in Duluth or in Minnesota or north, anyway, in Canada. And yes, that was much easier because I just knew everything. With the book about it that takes place in Italy, I had to do quite a bit of research and find out what kind of trees grew where and what birds were there. And I read books about Italy and... So I just investigated, and then I'd been there a few times, so you really take a lot of things in when you are a tourist, and I went to Venice in the wintertime, and it wasn't so crowded, and everything just kind of seeps in and becomes part of you, I think.
Tourists really do pay a lot more attention than, you know, to just everything than the residents, and I think that that's probably to be expected, but it's kind of fun. And it's a wonderful experience to be a tourist, and it's also a wonderful experience to host people in your town because you really do start to look at everything around you through different eyes.
Exactly. Yes, when you have someone visiting here in Duluth, you really look with them at what's new. And so, yes, that was exciting in Italy. And Venice especially is like a... Oh, it's like a dream-like city because, well, there are no cars. Instead of streets, they're just the canals. And one thing is the entire sound of the city is unlike any other place I can imagine. Just the sound of water, no cars at all, footsteps and echoes against the water and buildings. And, oh, it's just so... So exciting.
And I'm guessing that's nothing that you probably would have thought of before you actually experienced it. I mean, if I was going to imagine a place, it seems like motor noise is the background almost no matter where you are.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Except in Venice. So
yeah,
let's...
You see boats coming along. Instead of a truck, you'll see just a small boat coming along, carrying a bunch of boards, where they're going to do some construction on something, because that's the only way everything can come in and go out.
Now I want to ask you some things about your writing style, because I was captured by the style from the beginning, and I am going to start, actually I'm just going to read a little bit from the very beginning of the book, because it just really captured me instantly.
Okay.
So... I'm just read a little bit to give people a sample. Kindergarten. Gina is sitting inside her cardboard box reading Lolita. Her dad is ringing her doorbell, which is the bell she found in the yard, part of a hanging contraption that fell apart and is now attached to the front door of the cardboard box with a wire. She can see her father's big nose at her cutout window as he tells her that dinner is on in 5 minutes. Probably enough time to finish the chapter she's on. Gina is a fascinating character, but what struck me about the writing, a couple of things. It's very simple, it's pared down, and it's so conversational that it's almost like it reads itself. You're not really aware of, you know, I'm reading, it's kind of almost as though these could be your own thoughts and this could be your own train of thought unspooling in your mind. Has your style always been that way? Pared down, very economical. It's like every word in that paragraph needs to be carefully chosen to do its job, and there aren't a lot of extra words just hanging around for embellishment.
Well, I think when I first wrote that novel, it was very long, and so it is probably half the size it originally was. So, yes, I think I've learned to pare things down and to step into the conversation and make it like whoever's reading is right there with that person. And I think that's what makes it fun to write.
Another decision, artistic decision that you made, if I was able to look this up, it was too early for me to call my mother the English teacher, so I didn't call her. You've written it in the third person. So it's Gina is doing this. Somebody is doing that. Gina says, Gina does, Gina goes, the dentist thinks. So it's as though it really is sort of unspooling in front of you in real time. Not every novel, most novels are not written in that voice or from that perspective. Why did you make the choice to write it in that way?
Well, that just seemed to come naturally to me. I think I tried some other ways, and this is the one that worked and that I thought was the most fun to write in.
Well, it is a marvelous, marvelous read. Again, the characters grab you kind of from the moment that they're introduced, and you have a way of moving, especially at the beginning, the reader through time, but it never seems rushed. It never seems as though, I can think of an author right now, a very famous author, who writes exposition kind of like she's really trying to throw the details in super fast so that she can get onto the good stuff. And it never feels that way. Everything feels very detailed, but it's like you've selected the scenarios or the pieces of information people need to move them through time without it being jarring at all. I'm dying to know, what's the next book? When's it going to be out?
Oh, well, I've been thinking about which character would be the most fun to write about. I'm not sure yet. In the meantime, I'm just doing some painting, and that's my other love. So I have a couple of paintings going. And so when the time is right, I'll just start writing something.
So the idea would be, or at least what you're thinking now to the extent that you're thinking about it, is picking up another of the characters or some of the characters from this book and following them on, you know, through a different experience.
Yes, possibly, because I really like those characters, and it's hard to let them go once you finish the book. And a number of people have asked me what's happening next. And one of the fun things that I've heard from a few people who've commented on the book have said, oh, well, I had to stay up after midnight to finish it to see what happened.
Yeah. So, as an artist, so first of all, what are you, some kind of a Renaissance woman? And then is there anything, I mean, nobody ever looks at a painting and goes, what happens next? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I think it's good.
It's art in its expression, but it engages people in a completely different way.
And when I paint or when I start writing, I have no idea what's going to happen in the story or the book. And if I start a painting, I have no idea what I'm going to paint. I just start, and then it takes over, and something happens. And that's why it's fun.
Boy, it certainly sounds that way. I love listening to artists talk about their process and how it works, because it's so different than, well, of course, you know, I sit down at this place every morning and I push the same buttons, but you never really know what's going to happen. That's very true.
Yes.
At any rate, Connie, thank you so very, very much for joining us this morning. What a treat to have you with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. I enjoyed it.
Connie Ellis is the author of Picnic in Venice, and she joined us this morning as our guest on Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.